Are you ready for the word of the Lord?
Yes.
All right, let's stand back up, and I'm going to read a lengthy little passage. This is a tough word. This is a strong word. It's in God's word, and we need to hear it. It says in Judges, and by the way, Judges is an incredible book, simply because it tells the history of the ups and downs of Israel, and with great lessons to be learned there for us. We don't want to repeat that stuff, because it led to awful, terrible disasters politically, economically, and relationally for the entire nation when they refused to honor God. And here's an episode that shows the corruption that had taken place in the Israeli nation among one of the tribes in particular. Now, as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain worthless fellows, beset the house round about, beat on the door, and said to the master of the house, the old man, bring forth the man who came to your house that we may have intercourse with him. And the man, the master of the house, went out and said to them, no, my kinsmen, I pray you do not act so wickedly, seeing that this man is my guest. Do not do this wicked folly. Behold, here are my virgin daughter and this man's concubine. Them I will bring out now, debase them and do with them what seems good to you, but to this man do not so vile a thing. Now listen, it's fallen so deeply that corruption has now filled the hearts of those with children that they're willing to push them outside into an environment like this instead of defending them. But the men would not listen to him. So the man took his concubine and forced her forth to them. They had intercourse with her and abused her all the night until morning. And when the dawn began to break, they let her go. At daybreak, the woman came and fell down and lay at the door of the man's house, where her master was, till it was light. And her master rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, his concubine had fallen down at the door of the house. Her hands were upon the threshold. She was absolutely, completely gone, her hands trying to make her way back into this house. And he says to her, up and let's be going. But there was no answer, for she was dead. Then he put her body upon the donkey, and the man rose up and went home. When he came into his house, he took a knife and took hold of his dead concubine and divided her body limb by limb into 12 pieces and sent her body throughout all the territory of Israel. And all who saw it said, there was no such deed done or seen from the day that the Israelites came up out of the land of Egypt to this day. Consider it, take counsel, and speak your minds. What's it going to take in America before we get a wake-up call like Israel did on that day, all 12 tribes? Father, help us.
Yes.
Help your church. Yes. Help our nation. Help our culture.
Yes.
We need intervention.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Now, the word tells us the woman didn't respond to the master's request to get up because she was dead. She was expired. She'd been there on his doorstep dying through the night and had expired by the time dawn came. When the leaders of Israel's 12 tribes received a piece of this woman's body, they came to three conclusions, and they came to them in total unity. It took this to unite the nation, finally, to turn back to the Lord. And they said, consider it, take counsel, and speak your minds. So, in summation, the backstory, there was an incident that took place so horrific, so horrendous, and it brought such outrage to the people of Israel, specifically the people of God, were outraged.
Yeah.
They became so outraged at the brazenness of the enemy, and they woke up to what he had been doing insidiously, day by day, undermining the pillars of who they were. The outrage mobilized the entire army of God to change things, because they needed to be changed. So in Judges 20 and verse 8, it says, so all the people arose as one man. So, there was a huge response by the nation of Israel. The congregation gathered together as one man before the Lord at Mizpah. They decided, we're not going to tolerate this stuff any longer going on in our nation. And they finally reached the point they said, enough. This is the story of the man who went on a journey. He's in a home visiting with his host by invitation. Didn't know him, but the man was gracious and invited him in. Took him in for the night. The nation was so deteriorated that there were certain men who knew this stranger was in this certain house, and they first desired to take and abuse him. When hearing their request, the host of the house told the men, no. He refused their outrageous act, and in turn, to quell the violence and their outrageous desires, he offered the men the man's concubine. The host went and got the guest's concubine and took her to these sexual predators. And the word says they raped her and physically abused her. And when they were finished with her, they left her for dead. And the word says that she made her way through the streets, clothes torn, bleeding, broken, trying to find her way back to the house where they had been staying. She made it as far as the threshold of the door of the house where they had been staying and put her hands on the threshold of that door, lying there, bleeding, dying, abused, and wounded by these wicked and evil people. The next morning, her master opens the door to go out, and he sees his concubine lying there with her hands on the threshold of the door. She's disfigured. She's bloody. She's abused. And he calls to her, hoping to awaken her, but he discovers what's been already happened. She's breathed her last. Her hands have to be pried off of the threshold of that door. And as he realizes she's dead, he picks up her abused body. He's overwhelmed now by what he sees. And daybreak has come, and he is no longer in the dark, and he recognizes the horrific, horrible deeds that have been done to her. He picks up her limp, abused body, places her on his donkey, and heads toward their home. And as he journeys, only God knows the anger and the rage that begins to burn in this man's heart. He's carrying her dead body to his home. And when he arrives in this state of righteous anger, he does something almost incomprehensible. I can't get in this guy's boots. I can't figure this out. The word says he takes a knife. He doesn't bury her remains. He didn't call for a funeral. Then his anger and his frustration and personal guilt over what he and his homeland had become. He takes a knife, and with tears of anguish, he cuts her body into 12 pieces, one piece for every tribe of Israel who were sitting back, allowing this particular tribe to do whatever they wanted to do, bringing the curse of God upon their entire nation. The tribe of Benjamin had been leading the way toward destruction in Israel. And he said, I've had it. I'm not going to take it any longer. He cut her body into 12 pieces and sent a piece to the leadership of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. When they received that part of that woman, he may have enclosed some kind of communication so that they would have a context for this. And in his communication, it caused for a unified response among the 12 tribes as they each saw a piece of this woman's broken body. And this kind of abuse we have allowed to come into our own nation, the kind of destruction that we now see in the United States of America, and we have tolerated this behavior. We've allowed it to coexist with us. We have sat silently for decades, and they said among themselves, those tribal leaders, we need to do three things. They said, consider and get counsel and come together and let's evaluate these circumstances. And the third thing they said was, speak your minds. You better speak up. There needs to be some action involved in this. Now, we know that when somebody does something ridiculous, illegal, and sometimes even stupid, that our Congress will call for another committee hearing to find out what happened. But did you notice? Nobody goes to jail. No one gets punished. There's no ramifications. Nothing happens to anybody for the things that they do that are wrong. God forbid it would be one of us, right? Your pastor can no longer be silent about what's happening in our communities, our state, and our nation. And here's a word from the Lord. The 12 tribes said, we're going to do something. We will not sit back another day. And when they saw the pieces of this woman's body, it incited rage in the people of God. What happened to us? How in the world could we have ever come to this? We are absolutely to be salt and light in our world. And we have to take a stand on issues that matter to God, that are biblical, that we own. They belong to us. That's why we're here. That's why God placed us here. We're God's people. We are the light in the darkness of our world and age. And when I read this story, I thought about her hands are on the threshold, the hands of our community, the hands of our children in our community are on the threshold, bleeding and dying while at times we've sat back. The hands of women who've been abandoned by their spouses, the little men who just disregard their families so they can run off and still live the single life and be free. The word says we're living in days when men are lovers of themselves. They love themselves more than they love their own children. And they would fight me for saying that to them, but that's why they can go for days and not spend any time with them or invest in them, and in many cases rarely connect with their children after they've left their spouse for a divorce. Men love themselves. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. We heard about that Tuesday night. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. Man, are we not there today? They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will be, my goodness, you can put this right up on the news. This is what's happening. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. I don't know how you become a multi-millionaire, even now approaching the billionaire status, making $150,000 a year, unless you got some inside information, right? They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Let me read that again. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. In other words, they defer to their old nature. Their old nature still rules them. Their old nature is king in their life. Single mothers and children and students left fatherless. Those who have turned to drugs because they need to quell and self-medicate their pain. Those turning totally amoral. They've got no standards because they have no base, no foundations they're standing on. The foundations have been undermined daily by our institutions. There is no faith of any type. So we have an amoral society. The inability to know right from wrong, or a corrupted version of right from wrong. Doomed to you who call evil good and good evil. God is not pleased when people begin to corrupt his truth and begin to twist it to their own ends. You remember in South Florida, the condominium collapse in the dead of night, one floor pancaking onto the next, and how it buried scores of people under tons of concrete. Most were sleeping in their beds, unaware of the suddenness and coming catastrophe that took place that night. There'd been signs, warnings of water seeping underneath critical parts of the structure, losing its integrity, but the alarm was sounded too late. And 3,000 miles away in San Francisco, or this lavish city, we have the Millennium Tower now has shown signs of weakening similarly. That 58-story skyscraper with all its views and luxury amenities has sunk 18 inches into the soft downtown soil on which it was built. It's tilting. It's a warning for that structure as well. I'm concerned as we've entered this 21st century about where we're going. I'm burdened for the underpinnings of our culture, the eroding foundations, the structural cracks that everybody that can see, hear, and understand and comprehend can easily comprehend. I've studied the signs of the times and believe we're approaching a global cataclysm, one predicted by the scripture, unfolding literally before our eyes. Listen, folks, looking at the burning of our cities and the backbiting and the politicians and the runaway infections and the heated elections and the social upheaval and the racial tensions and the skyrocketing crime and the pundits that yell and deafening lies and eroding sands and cracking foundations is what we're being pushed into today. I've told my wife, we're watching the dismantling of America. I know all the philosophies and movements on our college campuses, the interconnected spider webs of the educational system that erodes our students and the next generation. And this crisis that we're finding right now has taken decades to build toward, but we're all going to be paying a price for it unless there's a mighty supernatural turnaround in America. We are only one existential crisis away from a one world government. We are that close. And what about our worldwide economy hanging on by a strand? What about the powder keg in the Middle East? All these crazy things that are happening at once in our society is leaving people restless and feeling hopeless and concerned. So people can listen to filth in our culture and think nothing of it. That's the day we live in. They can look at filth and think of nothing of it. They're liberated to do anything and everything on their mind that they can imagine and think nothing of it. And their hands are on the threshold of the door of the church while the church has slumbered away in its comfortableness, watching our community and nation collapse. I'm believing, God, that we will grow spiritually, righteously indignant in our day. Not angry with people. I don't hate the spiritually lost or the anti-God individual, but I'm done being silent about the murder of the unborn and those who say that we don't follow the Ten Commandments, that prayer and Bible reading no longer belong in our culture. I will not be silent about CRT and the insidious damage it does to divide our nation by race. I was thinking about this young lady, Grace Smith, a junior at Laramie High School in Wyoming. She's involved in a legal battle with her high school over its mask mandate. The district responded this week by locking down the entire school for an hour while cuffing and arresting her. Can you believe this? It's unbelievable. It is. God help us. Looking at CRT and what that insidious racist attitude is trying to foister on our culture, and basically what it does is divide. You see, there's a difference between equality and equity. Equality means that we all have an equal shot. Everybody gets an opportunity in America. Equity means we're going to level the playing field and we are going to take from those who have achieved and give to those who haven't or don't want to and make everything equitable for everybody. Well, I don't know about you, but I've reached the point where I'm done with this stuff. I'm angry with the devil because he has permitted this stuff to be entering into our families, our community, our state, and our nation, and deceive people, even sitting in the seats of our churches across the United States of America. I'm standing up against this. These hands are on the threshold of our doors. The community needs the message of Jesus. And if we don't begin a U-turn back to God and honor the Word of God, if the church is not going to come together and do what those 12 tribes did, to pray and be reignited and to rise up and renew standards once again in our land. Because it is still we the people. And as long as it's still we the people, we need to use our voices. We are the government in this country, not those who threaten you and tell you if you go to a school board meeting and raise your voice and get angry because of the belligerence of those on that school board, that they're going to tag you as a potential terrorist. Can you believe that? That should never be tolerated in this country. I fear we now have a government we deserve because we have stood by for so long and allowed what we're watching today. We the people are the governing force. The government is not in charge of us in the United States of America. And these men said, consider it. Consider what? See them as they had to witness the peace of this woman's body. There they had to look at it and consider what had happened in our nation. And he said, think about this. Think about what's going on. Start thinking more clearly and deliberately and with focus, and stop burying your head in the sand and recognize what people are doing. We can't be numb to this any longer. We can't hope it's just all going to go away overnight sometime. Don't just sit back saying it's bad, you know, government is out of control. I want you to consider what's happened in our homes, our community, in our nation. Consider it and think about it. Because although politicians think we're stupid, we're not. We're smart and we're alert and we're on this. And here are some of the items. Here are some of the items that we as a church at Calvary Christian Center, a lighthouse, lampstand church, need to consider. One is our public school system. God is saying this is the time to do this because parents are flocking by the thousands, tens of thousands now, to home education in America. There's a reason for that, and smart they are. The total number in Los Angeles, listen to this, Los Angeles Times just reported this, the total number dropped by 27,000 students this year, a 6% decrease, Los Angeles Unified Public School System. 27,000 parents said, no more of this, or those parents of 27,000 students said, no more of this. We're not going to tolerate putting you into that environment one more day. We've had enough of this going on with students in our country. I look at the statistics related to this, and folks, as parents responsible for your children, it's time to speak up. There's methodologies by which you can address some of these matters, and you can get information from the school boards related to what they're teaching your children. You have a right to do that. Submit an FOIA request to gain access to the public documents, including school boards and school district materials. And if requested, the government is required to hand over those records via the open record laws and the Sunshine Laws. You have a right to know if they refuse to tell you what they're teaching your children. I hope as a parent you are invested in finding out what they are teaching your children in the classrooms. Equity sounds like equality, but as you look at this, equality means equal treatment for every America, every American. CRT's equity demands race-based discrimination, because systematic racism has produced disparities between the races, because the system will only deepen these disparities by rewarding the wrong criteria. Government must treat individual American inequality according to skin color and forcibly produce equal outcomes. That's what CRT is trying to teach children, and also trying to teach throughout our political system as well as our governmental systems. Can you imagine what's happening in some of the heads of these students? You need to consider that the Supreme Court has thrown out the Ten Commandments from our schools a number of years ago. that they can't hang them on the walls of our classrooms, that prayer and Bible reading is no longer wanted in our classrooms. That's what we were told a number of decades ago. That same school system now can teach your children that they can have an abortion or sex change without parental consent, okay? There are books that they're suggested as reading in our school systems, many times are sexually explicit, matters that belong exclusively to parental oversight, not to school boards. Those are your tax dollars that are paying for this. Then you should object, completely object. Now, no Bible, no prayer, no standards of commandments to live by, to give people some basis for how they should live among each other. Well, we wondered what would happen. We're watching what happened. It's manifesting in front of us. COVID vaccinations for all public and private schools. Children, wow. What about your rights? What about parental oversight? What about your ability to say, nah, we don't want that in our bodies? I was looking at this report that I received the other day related to what's happening even governmentally. It's a scary thing, for instance, among our military. So much so that I've gotten emails trying to get me to cooperate and be willing to interview those who are asking for religious objections in the United States Air Force from every Air Force base across the United States of America, because the chaplains are being overwhelmed. And these interviews take so much time, they don't have enough chaplains to do all the interviews. The Department of Defense has known for months that the COVID jabs are causing myocarditis among once healthy servicemen and women. It's a fact. They're going to court over this. Liberty Counsel is filing a class action lawsuit against Joe Biden on behalf of the military, federal employers, and federal civilian contractors. The Department of Defense knows the shots are causing serious heart problems to some of our heroes in specific age categories. And it's a very scary thing when your heart slows way down, or it goes up at a very high rate of speed when you never had a heart problem before in your life. And what is the objection here? Listen, I'm not anti all vaccines for people. I'm not. I believe that some of them have done some good things for people in the past, particularly compromised people and those that are looking to stop all kinds of diseases from breaking out in communities, like are coming across our border from people who have not been vaccinated against the simple measles, okay? But let me get back to something more important here. We don't know the ramifications of what some of these vaccines are going to do long term. Some of the vaccines that students are asked to take now as they enter the school systems have been tested for decades, and we know what the liabilities are, and we know what also the potentials are for preventing outbreaks. We don't have that kind of track record with the COVID vaccines. We don't know what they're going to do to people. We don't know for long term what kind of impact they're going to make, especially those that are designer vaccines that mess with their DNA. Now, you look at some of these military folk who had to take the anthrax vaccine during Gulf War I, and now we're having to pay a very high price to help them with some of their medical needs because they're having all kinds of problems with some that took that vaccine during Gulf War I that need help now. So folks, we've got to be careful. What is the long-term impact of vaccines? What about your religious rights to object? Here are things to consider. We're a nation that no longer honors the God who made us who we are. He said, "You shall have no other gods before me." Now our gods are movie stars. Our gods are sports figures. Our gods are rock stars. Our God is the God of mammon, money. And we watched a lot of that going on at the political brouhaha on Tuesday night. Our temples of worship are coliseums where people praise a piece of leather cowhide. Men will sit and scream if their team wins, but walk out into the parking lot ready to start a fist fight with somebody and then break out in tears if their teams lose. The same people come to church and sit in a pew like this, because you think we're fanatical if there's any emotion and praise to Almighty God. When public school teacher can teach about sexual activity in graphic detail, plant ideas in vulnerable minds already affected by the psychological impact of scary COVID and being forced to wear a mask all day, sitting in a classroom, but the biblical commandment related to prayer and studying of God's word cannot be brought into that classroom, then we're a pagan nation. We're a pagan nation. When a school teacher can have sex with a minor and get slapped on the wrist because it was consensual, we're a pagan nation. When a 10-year-old girl is ordered by a court, listen, this is happening in America. It impacts all of us. While we've sat back in the church, all this has happened. I'm here with a bloody piece of flesh for those, on behalf of those whose hands are on the threshold of our church. And I'm saying, do something. When a 10-year-old girl is ordered by a court to stop reading her Bible in class, it ought to indicate outrage on the behalf of the body of Christ. When Hollywood stars flaunt their immorality, when the music industry icons get nationwide television coverage and same-sex kisses or half-naked people, listen, we're numb to this stuff anymore. Promoting any kind of sexual relationships and making a mockery of who we are as believers in the United States of America. The promotion of lifestyle in the entertainment world that knows no gender. Church, get in touch with what's happening in our culture today. We need to get our head out of the sand, right? We were at that meeting Tuesday night, and for almost 2 hours, I heard a pitch. More money for the city of Yuba City. That's all they did for 2 hours. And they repeated it and filibustered it so that people who got tired left. And they allowed them to do this for up to 2 hours. But most of us were given either 5 minutes or 3 minutes limits and get buzzed, okay? So listening to this, money, 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 money. You'll get money. You'll get more money. This is a moral issue. This is not a money issue. This is a moral issue, okay? And we look at why this is important to us, because in the moral issue, we have to understand if we really need more money in our coffers, let the city council get busy bringing new businesses to the community that are moral and just and righteous, okay? We've been asleep for 5 decades, and the use and abuse of money in commerce, manipulated by those with a political agenda, has influenced many, many people. And they say, well, you'll go bankrupt because we'll go woke on you if you speak out, and we'll terrorize you until you can't do business anymore because we're going to accuse you of discrimination and hatred and bigotry. Social media is corrupt. And it's corrupting a younger generation through manipulation and selling misinformation and censoring or speaking the truth. And all in the name of the code word diversity. I'm a preacher of the gospel. I have a responsibility to cry out against this stuff because I'm a watchman on the wall and I see wickedness coming over the horizon. And it's time for the watchmen in America to stand up and give warning. We have a responsibility to call it out. I love people, but we have to comprehend that God hates sinful practices. Because if sin were no big deal, he would have never sent his son to die cruelly on a cross if sin didn't mean anything to him. The courts have ruled in the last several years that a rapist, killer, the state of California have ruled that this predator has the constitutional right to keep his collection of pornography in his cell. Saints, cancel any subscription to a station that promotes pornography. Cancel it. Disconnect hell's box office if you have to. Stop funding evil. Stop the filth coming into your home. Now, there is a move to grow and dispense cannabis. My son pointed that out early. You've got the emails, you've got the addresses, They looked around the room after all but about three people stood up opposed to this happening, okay, and came to the conclusion that more are for this than are against it. And I thought, wow, you had some of the highest level leadership in the entire community stand up and tell you this is not what we need among the people of our community. Highest level representation that were there. And I have to applaud them for standing up and making their stand. But I can't understand why they felt like there were more people for this than against it. And then they cited getting some texts and some emails. So now it's our turn. We can use the email methodology as well. And all of us need to speak up and let our city council respectfully know we stand against either growing or dispensing legally in this community, if you can use that term, marijuana. We don't need that in our community. It will contribute to the deterioration of our community. It's going to increase our health care costs. We heard that clearly the other night. Contribute to injuries and deaths with people driving under the influence. It ought to incite response in the body of Christ. But we've been so numbed and dumbed down by all going around on around us. So the spiritual bar has been lowered. And nothing seems to get our response any longer. Nothing seems to generate, that's enough. We've had all of this we want. Money is not the issue on this topic. It's morals. The safety of your children. The keeping this stuff out of their hands. Whatever comes, whatever goes, though, the attitude, even in the church, just go along, just get along, capitulate. We can't do anything about it. That's a lie. That is a lie. If the church ever stands up like those representatives in those 12 tribes did, there's nothing that can stand against us. In a recent poll, we discovered 70% of Americans did not agree when the Ten Commandments were taken out of the courthouse back in Alabama. Most of us said, no, we don't need to have that happen. The enemy wants us to think we're nobodies, but even if we are relatively outnumbered, remember, we still have God on our side. And he can topple governments. He can dismantle court justices. He raises one up and puts another down. Are you awake yet? Are you awake yet? And here's something else to consider today. Let it shock you like that piece of flesh did on that day in Israel. God help us to be shocked into reality again. In Holland, prostitution is legal. Young girls, 15, 16, crawl into the windows of buildings and shops and openly solicit business. There they're enticing others by dancing and suggestive behavior, openly bidding for your business. Business is brisk in places where they've legalized promiscuous sexual behavior. It's pretty brisk. And here in California, legalization of prostitution is right on the horizon. Not to speak of the sexual slavery, not only worldwide, but now in our own state and coming across the border throughout America, girls as young as 10 years of age sold into sexual slavery for men in America and across the world. At what point do we say enough? We can no longer allow this. In Las Vegas, when you walk through a hotel to eat in a restaurant, call girls will hand you their calling card and tell you, give me a call. In cities in Europe, taxi drivers hand out cards so you can call them to order your drug of choice while you're visiting. In some countries, if I preach what I'm preaching, it'll be considered a hate crime. If there's not a response from the church in America, all of what I'm describing is going to become a new way of life in the United States. The church must do something more than come to church on Sunday morning. We've not parked ourselves here to enjoy ourselves once a week. We've got to become activated, energized, ignited, burning with the passion of the gospel. Because while we know we can't go out and do something in mass in the sense that overnight everybody's going to just do what we want them to do, we are tasked with bringing the good news one person at a time, changing the hearts and minds of people. And when the heart gets changed, it won't be long, the behavior will get changed also. Amen? So what's the solution? Well, I'm glad you asked. A change of heart. Because Jesus is Lord of his church. And if he lives in us, we should automatically, easily begin to fall in line with the commandments in his word. Jesus said, if you love me, do what I say. Obey me. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. And some say, well, the Ten Commandments passed away. They're no longer applicable to us in our society. That's not what Jesus taught. Listen to him. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them and give you power to live right. Then Jesus goes on to say something else. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Listen to the word. Do not permit any of your children to be offered as a sacrifice to Molech, for you must not bring shame on the name of your God. I am the Lord. That's child killing. God calls it unacceptable. We've been doing that now for decades in our culture. We've almost become numb to it. I'm praying this Supreme Court is going to take action on this issue. Because once again, science has proven this book to be true. That's a human being. Do not practice homosexuality, having sex with another man as with a woman. It is a detestable sin. Listen to God's word. Do not defile yourselves in any of these ways, for the people I'm driving out before you have defiled themselves in all these ways. Because the entire land has become defiled, I am punishing the people who live there. I will cause the land to vomit them out. So you could tell God is not pleased with behavior that goes against his word. He said that these people who did these things were vomited out of the land. He rid his land of that act, those activities. He calls these sins iniquities, and he listed them. And some of our candidates are okay with child killing, yet they call themselves religious. Well, I just read to you what Paul wrote to Timothy about those who call themselves religious but don't practice their faith. You must obey all my decrees and regulations. You must not commit any of these detestable sins. This applies both to native-born Israelites and the foreigners living among you. Whoever commits any of these detestable sins shall be cut off. So we can't retreat in these challenging days. To whom much is given, much is required. And during the rule of the Roman Empire, abortion was commonplace. It's an historical fact. The Caesars were flagrantly perverse, horrible in their behavior. They engaged in promiscuous behavior of every kind. Today we find ourselves reliving the history of the empire. The Caesars persecuted the body of Christ. I wonder why that's parallel to our day. A spirit of perversity inspired their anger toward the Christian believers. And today their palaces lie in ruins. Their great governments are nothing but columns left standing. They cursed our God, but their gods are rotting, and our God has endured, and we name our dogs Caesar. Okay? Consider it. And then he said, take counsel. The body of Christ in America needs a cleansing and a new sense of right and wrong, and then it needs to unify as one voice that needs to stand together to speak as one. And those who care, I mean really believers who care, not swapping sheep, but who care about the lost, who care about bringing people who don't know Jesus into the kingdom of God and making disciples out of them. Speak up. That's a now word for our community. It's a now word for our nation. It's time to speak up. Speak up unapologetically for God's truth. Quit sitting back and speak up for righteousness. Get engaged with your teachers. Get engaged with the school boards. Speak up by volunteering. You can't change the system unless you get involved with those that are running the system, right? And you need to get elected to the system and speak up, and let's replace those who want to take our country into a place we none of us want to go. Don't just sit back and allow this deterioration to spread and do nothing. The Holy Spirit is prompting us. He's telling us, speak up. You have a voice. While you still have it, use it. In 1940, the fall of France took place because the French leadership sat back and ignored what was going on. They were strangely quiet and silent. They didn't want to get involved. Instead, they tried to play nice with the Nazis. And by their appeasement of the Nazis, they actually invited their invasion, because you don't negotiate with the devil. No, there is no negotiation. We don't have a peace treaty with the devil. We're at war with the devil. And we won't stop fighting him until he's fully and completely removed from the culture. Amen? But as long as he smells weakness in us, that we're willing to roll over and do nice with him, he will keep coming more ferociously and insidiously under the radar until he has totally destroyed your home, your family, your business, and our culture. The French leaders refused to challenge the Nazis. They refused to stand up and say, we can't allow what you're doing. They refused to speak up when they invaded Poland. Meanwhile, in England, Churchill and the British said, we will fight them with pitchforks. If we run out of bullets, we'll fight them in the streets. We will fight them on the mountains. We will fight them everywhere they come from. We will never quit. We will fight, fight, fight. Thank God for somebody who knew how to lead his nation, right? And at that time, they had no American support. It wasn't until Pearl Harbor was bombed and we started losing innocents to Nazi submarines that we decided to jump into this fight. But the British had already decided to fight the Nazis alone, without any help. France fell to Nazi domination. The British refused to capitulate. They took a stand and said, we will not roll over for you. Today we face a choice. We face an enemy. We face tyranny. I'm going to call it what it is. It's tyranny. We face one that is more brutal and vicious than the Nazis. Today we find our freedoms under attack and under threat. That's the world in reality we live in. And there are those among us today who would have us to become, no offense to the French, French-like. No, we will not roll over. We will not sit back and do nothing. Because if we do, it's over. We will choose to be British-like. We will stand up to our foe. And we will say, even if it looks like there are more of you massing against us than we have, you may have more in number. You may be brutal and love death, right? And even though there are those in America who would appease this adversary, I believe that in America there is an awakening majority that's starting to stir. Those who have been silent, those whose eyes spiritually as well as politically are beginning to open up. God is awakening this giant among us, and he's saying to us, you can take your nation back. I'm not through with America. I believe that. I'm praising God for that. I'm thanking God for that. I've got a good friend and mentor who just turned 89 years of age. He's preaching today in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, because he's as vital and as strong as any man of God you'll ever hear. His father, Al, was responsible for my dad coming back to the Lord, into the kingdom, and being in heaven today, because Al Reed was one of those great, great saints of God back during the healing revivals of the 40s and 50s, and a part of that entire network. His son Tommy and Al went ahead and pastored the church that Lester Sumrall began in the Philippines, in Manila, Bethel Temple. And then Tommy worked closely with Dr. Cho in Seoul, Korea for a number of years before he left to go to Buffalo and built a phenomenal church there. And he's preaching today in Pittsburgh. And he said the other day, he said, God impressed upon me that we're about to enter a new day of miracles and a new dimension of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I stood in my backyard and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. Listen, folks, we've got great hope in the church yet. Listen. And here's what he said that the Lord said to him. He said, now is the time for you to get excited about a new move of the Holy Spirit. Step out of the negativity of our present culture. Step into what God is about to do. It's time to get excited. It's time to raise your hands, shout his praises, and believe that this is truly the greatest day in the history of the world. And my goodness, he's out believing that the heavens are going to open and the church is going to come alive and be what we're supposed to be once again in the United States of America. Amen? There's not a negative bone in that guy's body. Every day he gets up and he's got a word for us. And he encourages all of us younger in the ministry. Thank God I'm still younger in the ministry, right? He turned 89 the other day. So it was brokenhearted because a couple of weeks back, Pastor Cho passed. They had traveled the world together and worked together for so long. And he said, my heart, I'm crying. I don't know how to handle the loss of this great general. But he got back up off the floor, and he began to continue to communicate with all of us about to continue the process and the mission and the purpose of the church. We face a choice, right? We face enemies. We cannot sit back and do nothing. And even though we think our adversary is strong, in the Lord we are stronger. Greater is he who was in us than he who was in the world. Amen? God is awakening the church. I'm not ready yet to believe that the public school system is totally lost. I'm not ready to believe that. And here's why. I believe that the Holy Spirit renewing us can revitalize and change the direction of our public school system. But if they don't, then we've got some new models we can embrace that will allow us to educate our children with biblical foundations. I'm not ready to give up on our government, even though I'm seeing some cracks in the foundations of the current government we have that I say we cannot allow. And whatever is necessary to change that, we need to change it. I'm not ready to give up on our cities. For the sake of America and its founding principles and for God's purpose, we have to decide to speak up and act and push back. We can't criticize LGBTQ. We can't. If we can't keep our own homes together and keep our own act together. The greatest invitation to our national downfall has been the breakdown of the American family. It's time for God's people to repent. Time for God's people to stand up and start living right. Time for God's people to be politically active and to understand we're not called to sit back. We're called to be informed and to speak up and to act up. And anyone who walks into a voting booth who's truly born again by the blood of Jesus has an obligation to look over each and every candidate, no matter what the party, and vote for the man or the woman who stands on issues that best reflect our Christian values. How does a person stand on the issues that matter to God? How can I vote for someone who promotes the death of the unborn? How do I cast a ballot on behalf of that person? Well, we have to be tolerant. And no one is, no, listen, this tolerance stuff has gotten us where we are. And no one is perfect. No, I'm not going to vote that way. We vote principles that align with God's word. So it's time to speak up. Am I preaching truth today? Okay, just check it. Okay. Take counsel. Consider it. Get together and start planning. I think it was Michelle that sent me the text this morning about a stand down or stand out. What did they call that? That they're going to skip school for an entire day and say, no, we're not doing this. We're protesting as peaceably as we know how these mandates are imposing on our children. If this generation is like it is, what's the next generation going to be like by the time they have completely removed everything that resembles God in any form or fashion? What will the next generation be like? The next generation has its hands on the threshold of the doors of our churches. And God is saying, you cannot sit back. Being outraged enough to get up and do something for the glory of God and a nation that was once founded on godly principles. Well, Pastor, are you becoming political? Nope. I'm preaching Bible to you. I'm preaching biblical principle to you. You see, they've so stolen our principles, they now actually use them against us and tell us to shut up. No, these are our biblical principles. We own them. We'll keep preaching them. We'll keep standing up for them. Amen? This is what the saints whom God honored did throughout God's word. They stood up. They stood up finally in the book of Judges to make a difference. They affected their day and their government as Daniel did in his day. This is not political. This is biblical. We have to believe God's word and live it. And we need to start praying, God, save America. Say it. God, save America. And I'm sick and tired of this separation of church and state. That's what's got us where we are. You stay in your little corner, and we'll do our business without you. Separation of church and state. That terminology wasn't even in existence until 1948. It's not in our Constitution, for those of you that have been told it is, that it's, you know, it's the way we're supposed to conduct our constitutional business. It's not in the Constitution. There is no such statement, separation of church and state. In fact, when Jefferson signed the Constitution, here's what he wrote after his name. In the year of our Lord, onto that document. Separation of church and state. When Jefferson finally had to address that issue, in terms of it being a question mark in the hearts of some Baptist believers, he looked at it and he said, the only thing that this means, this terminology that you've come up with, is that the government needs to stay out of your business. Government has no business in your business as a church. Number one. Then he wrote back. You can read his letter. He wrote back and he said the following. He said, on the flip side, now you didn't use that term, that's kind of a now term. But on the flip side, he said, you need to be engaged and involved in the business of government. The only thing separation of church and state was to do is to keep the state out of the church. And who was targeted during COVID? And in fact, discriminated against during COVID? It was the church. And why did two of our lead pastors down in Southern California win a huge lawsuit against the governor and the state? Because constitutionally, they had no business trying to make law against the church. Some of our founders would be absolutely horrified if they showed up today and witnessed the corruption among the politicians and what they're doing to our nation. This is not what they had in mind. At some point, we've got to do more than play church. At some point, we've got to stand up, consider, take counsel, speak our minds. These three things are okay for the church to finally get up and do. Okay? Consider. Start thinking about the undermining and erosion going on in the platform that we stand on as our way of life and government. Start paying attention to this. consider it. Take counsel. Get together. Have that constitutional class. Have that biblical citizenship class. Get together and encourage one another about our foundations. And then where it counts and when it counts, speak up. Make your voice known. You have children being influenced, and when they're being influenced incorrectly, you need to speak up. You should have choice about where your tax dollars go to educate your child. Unashamedly speak up. So we need to start saying, we will honor God. We will honor the teaching of this book. It's the key to the future success of our nation. I thank God every day I live in America. Every person who will say, there's an area of my life I need to consider and take counsel concerning, then whatever fear or spirit or attitude or capitulation we've allowed to take place, God help us, God forgive us, God put some Holy Spirit cartilage back in our backs, amen. Anything that's not pleasing to God, anything that begins to incite in us a sense of outrage over what people are doing, we need to become sold out, born again, spirit-filled, Bible-believing followers of Jesus Christ, that God will empower us and touch our community and our nation. And if we do pray that way, we need to remember our children and our grandchildren and the future in our community and our state. We need to consider. We need to take counsel. We need to speak up because, as the former President Reagan said, we're one generation away from extinction when it comes to freedom. It's time to speak up. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand together for a moment and let's lift our hands and voices to the Lord. And it's time to cry out to God like Israel did on that day and cry to him and ask him for help and say, Lord, we need you, desperately need you to help us. We're in a difficult place. We need your strength. We need your purpose. We need you to follow through in your promises to us. No, excuse me, Father, I'm wrong. We need to follow through on our promises to you because you always keep your promises. Thank you for helping us to keep our promises. With eyes closed for just a few minutes, we're going to take a couple moments to honor our team. We're going to ask God to bless them and help them. But before we sign off, if you need Jesus in your life, bless these junior hires. So good to see so many of them coming out now on Sundays. It's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. So good to see that. So good to see that. If you need the Lord in your life, that's the starting point. Now, you can call yourself religious. You can say, I was raised by my mama in a religious home. It's all well and good. But are you full of the power of God to practice your faith? And stand up and be heard. I'm not against medicine. I'm for it. But I'm also not going to capitulate my rights for fear. Fear is not going to neutralize our rights. Thank you, Lord. If you need Jesus to make you the man or woman you need to be, to do what Jesus came to do, and that was to seek and save the lost and pour his life out so we could go to heaven. He wants every one of us in heaven with him. Everyone. Not willing that any should perish. Lift your hand and say, Lord, I need you in my life. Anyone in the room, real quickly, lift your hand and say, yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We've got a couple of hands raised right down here. Thank you, Father. Anywhere else in the room? Thank you. Thank you. Got two ladies are holding their hands up right now. I need a couple of credentialed women to come down this center aisle. Okay? Just keep your hand up until somebody comes to you. Right, right. right over here. There's another one right over here. Need another lady to come down and pray with her. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We praise you. Go right ahead and let's start those prayers of faith. Let's pray together these prayers aloud so that these people coming into the kingdom will know that they're not alone. We've all had to pray this prayer. Amen. If you're watching at home and you lifted your hand, call us, email us immediately. But let's pray this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Without him, we're eternally lost. He came, ministered, suffered, died, was buried, and rose again to give us freedom, spiritual renewal, to forgive our sins. Today I am forgiven. I am a child of God, and now I'm headed to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Celebrate around the room here right now. It's always good. Most important thing that ever happens in the room. Most important thing.